Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a vision for you, Big Book Study. My name is Elaine B. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Massachusetts. Today is Wednesday, July 17th, 2019. And today we're reading from the Big Book. We're in the chapter More About Alcoholism on page 41. We're reading and commenting on the first paragraph only, which begins with, I went to my hotel. Today's readers are Bernie W. for the 12 Steps, Hani K. for the 12 Traditions, Penny L.C., Kara L., and Des M. We have Janice P.M. to greet our newcomers, and then Reggio doing announcements after we stop our recording, so please stay tuned for that. The reference number for 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting yesterday, July 17th, 16th is 13165. That's 13,165. And the reference meeting for today's 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting is 13166. Again, for July 17th, Wednesday morning, 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time is 13166. The OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is the fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We're self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors, and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose: to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I'll now ask Bernie W. to please read the 12 steps.
Good morning. This is Bernie W., gratefully recovered compulsive overeater from Pennsylvania. 1, we admitted that we were powerless over our food, that our lives have become unmanageable. 2, came to believe in a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, we were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for the knowledge of His will for us and for the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. And I pass.
Thank you so much, Bernie W. And Hattie K., will you please read the 12 traditions? Hattie K., please press star 1 to unmute.
Hi. Good morning. Hattie K. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need to always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for letting me do service. Have a wonderful day, everybody.
Thank you so much, Hani Kay. How our meeting works? Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and stop and share on what we read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we're discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We're sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone, except the speakers, should be muted using star 1, please. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book. We're in the chapter More About Alcoholism on page 41, reading and commenting on the first paragraph, and I will ask Penny L.C. to please begin reading.
Thank you, Elaine, for your service. Good morning, and good morning to everyone on the line. This is Penny L.C., a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater from the state of Washington, and this is the Big Book. I went to my hotel and leisurely dressed for dinner. As I crossed the threshold of the dining room, the thought came to my mind that it would be nice to have a couple of cocktails with dinner. That was all. Nothing more. I ordered a cocktail and my meal. Then I ordered another cocktail. After dinner, I decided to take a walk. When I returned to the hotel, it struck me a highball would be fine before going to bed. So I stepped into the bar and had one. I remember having several more that night and plenty next morning. I have a shadowy recollection of being in an airplane bound for New York and of finding a friendly taxicab driver at the landing field instead of my wife. The driver escorted me about for several days. I know little of where I went or what I said and did. Then came the hospital with unbearable mental and physical suffering. Well, this brings me up to looking at a little bit of the paragraph before, because I have to reflect on the fact that Fred was, he had just finished his business dealings and it had come off well. He was feeling pleased with himself and how things were, and he thought it was just a perfect day. So with that setup, there's that pride, there's that ego up in, and that inflation. And I believe when it has the italicized statement there, that of course says here's something to pay attention to, and especially that word threshold. For me, that's like a metaphor from crossing from God-reliance to self-reliance. I'm in trouble. And my best thinking gets me in trouble every time, as Fred's did here. thinking that he could be that would have been socially acceptable to have a cocktail or two with dinner and to even have a highball after, you know, late in the evening, but not what followed, because that's when we've, for me, that would be, you know, trying to convince myself I could have just a portion of dessert because everyone else at the occasion was enjoying it also. But I know myself well enough to know that it's not going to stop there. Once I've triggered that allergy in my body, I've lost it. I've lost that mental defense and the obsession takes over. But the problem here more so is that what I've done and what Fred was doing was operating on self-knowledge and willpower. And we know from what the big book has taught us that is never enough. It will always take me back to that insanity and trigger the obsession. You know, I've been abstinent, but not recovered. There's the difference, the huge difference between that type of abstinence that I am in. I know that I can white knuckle my abstinence. I can have head abstinence, or I can have heart abstinence. And when I can get it to my heart, that means I'm in step with what my higher power's will for me is. And I've got God there to walk with me and be my that wonderful guiding light. And there's the difference. To be able to stay away and stay out of that unbearable mental and physical suffering that my disease takes me to every time I cross that threshold. And I'm so grateful for the solution today. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Penny Elsie. Thank you. So I'd like to comment on that first paragraph on page 41.
Sarita.
Lenatsky.
Mo S.
Leslie A. M.
Kathleen O.
Okay. I heard Sarita. L, I believe, Mo F or Mo H, and Leslie M and Kathleen O. There's somebody right after Sarit, though. I didn't get your name.
Lynette P.
Lynette P. And I have time for one more. Anybody else want to jump on the list, or shall we start just with this?
Beatrice O.
Beatrice O. Okay, let's start with that. Tariq L, Lynette P, Mo F or H, I believe it's Mo H, Leslie M, Kathleen O, and Beatrice O, and take it away, Tariq, please. And everybody,
thank you.
Mute your line. Thank you.
Thank you so much for your service, your happy service. I'm grateful. Grateful to be on the lines today live. My kids are all in vacation today. So I am sitting here as I cross the threshold of the dining room. The thought came to mind. And that's where the problem starts. When the thought comes to my mind and when I start thinking, that's when the problem begins. When my thought takes over. And I love when someone had mentioned about crossing over that threshold, because it is truly a thin line. It's almost it's so inconspicuous. We don't notice when we are crossing. I don't notice when I'm crossing over into that territory, the territory that's my mental twist. And that what happened here with Fred is that nothing more. That was all, nothing more. I ordered a cocktail and my meal. So he had a mental twist, regardless of what his feelings were. They could be, you know, sad, they could be happy, they could be excited, they could be joyous, they could be anything. And that shows me that it doesn't take much emotion, and it's not one specific emotion that can create my mental twist. And so he acted on that mental twist. I ordered a cocktail and my meal.
Then I ordered another cocktail. He took an action. He didn't make a phone call. That pause that we have between the first, you know, the first thought and the first bite, that pause, he didn't heed. You know, he didn't listen in. And that's where, thank God, the more and the longer I'm in these rooms and working the steps, I have hope today to not be picking up the food, because when I do get that thought, which it's, you know, I'm not promised that I won't get that thought of eating, and though it does happen infrequently, when I do get that thought, I have that pause button where I can say, I'm feeling blank. Let me make a phone call. Let me ask God what I need to do with that. And then whatever action I can, if it's prayer, meditation, being of service in my home, outside of the room, whatever it is, I can heed the correct action because of that pause button. And we see one more thing I wanted to mention is that when he orders another cocktail, that's already his physical allergy that's been triggered. So he first acts on the mental twist. He first has that mental twist that he, with the first ordering of his cocktail, and then the second ordering is as a result of his physical allergy. And that goes to show us the mind and body problem that we have that, again, makes us an abnormal eater. And I will never, ever go back to this place where I will I become normal again. My button's broken and I won't grow new legs. And thank God for these rooms. Thank God I'm here. Thank God for all of you. With that, I pass.
Thank you very much, Sarit L. And I so appreciated the extra commentary from your child. That's beautiful. Lynette Teen, you are up next, followed by Mo. Please go ahead, Lynette.
Thank you, Elaine. This is Lynette P., recovered in Southern California. My last day of work, and I'm retiring. I can listen to the meetings more often. Thank you. So Fred's retelling really resonates with me. I just strongly identify in this paragraph. For years, I didn't, because I just thought, oh, they're alcoholics, but it's different. And so he's me, or I'm him. And first, with me also, it's that threshold, crossing the threshold. And as I read this with my sponsees now, I always think back to all the times many years ago when I would cross that threshold into my parents' house, and maybe my dad had just baked some bread, and the thought would quickly cross my mind. And I went right to it. There was no defense. And I had been abstinent just before I walked in, and probably resolute before I entered. And this took place numerous times. That mental twist was at work. And I didn't have the recovery I do now. And I immediately went into eating patterns that maybe I associated with the house in which I grew up or issues with my parents. But regardless, I was practicing self-reliance and self-will and trying to control, and I obviously couldn't. And then I would make an outreach call after I had eaten or binge, but after, you know, not trying to pause or take some other spiritual action beforehand. And there were other thresholds I crossed with subsequent thoughts about eating, and I did. But now, however, I practice the steps. I don't have to activate my addiction. I'm doing a 10-step if needed, and if I'm thinking about food, there is probably a 10-step that I need to do. You know, I have a deeper relationship with my higher power, practicing trust and reliance and in that partnership. Also, when I read the chapter Vision for You with sponsees, I am so delighted to read Threshold Used in Another Way. And this came up last week when we were reading, you know, and it mentions about many among the AAs stepping over that threshold of somebody's home and stepping over that threshold into freedom. And the freedom I have now, it's predicated on my spiritual fitness and my relationship and that with my higher power, that reliance on my higher power. I know that now. That is very strong. You know, I have it's just a deeper, stronger relationship and recovery. So today I'm willing to practice the steps, and I don't have to get bogged down and tied into hurtful eating practices and suffering and patterns from which I can't get out of alone. So I'm really happy to have this program. This is wonderful to read this and to be on the meeting. And thank you. I pass.
Thank you very much, Lynette, and congratulations. Mo, you're up next, followed by Leslie M.
Hi, thank you so much, Mo. Maureen S. I love Fred's story. I resonate with it so much because I was a chronic relapser, and I see myself in him and in this story. And it really strikes me that before this spree that we just read about, which was a big spree, I mean, he was missing for days. God knows what, you know, what he did, what could have happened to him. It was a big deal, but yet he had kind of rested on his path to work. So he was recovered, and he shares a little bit earlier that he'd been traveling a bunch of times and was totally fine. So he, to me, I get the impression that he did what I did many times. Oh, okay, well, you know, I went to a meeting already yesterday, and the work that I did yesterday and the days before are going to keep me abstinent today. And just for me, that doesn't work. I need to put work into my recovery, but it's good for me and it's beautiful and it helps me so much and it keeps me peaceful and serene. And I have neutrality around the food. So it's not the mental gymnastic kind of work that I used to do when I was white knuckling it. It's totally, totally different. This kind of work for me that I have to do to remain abstinent is beautiful work, and it's loving myself and other people. But I have to do the work. I find when he says, when Fred says, it was too hard work, I think he thinks this, he's thinking out loud. Yeah, I think it was just too hard of work for a simple matter, you know. I was making too much of it. And he was thinking that it, either in the day or that morning that he relapsed. And he was like, yeah, you know, I think I've got this now down, which is self-knowledge, as someone else shared. I don't need any more self-knowledge. I have plenty of it. I need recovery. And for me, that means doing everything I can in the tools and with calling my sponsor, calling other people, writing. If that doesn't work, I do everything I can possibly think of. And I do have occasionally have those food thoughts. It's not every day, thankfully, but when I do, I have to work just as hard as I did on day one, and that's okay. I'm okay with that. I'm just kind of accepting where I am. And, you know, maybe as in the longer recovery, maybe I won't have to, but I'm okay if I do, because it's such a blessing to me. I've learned that I can't trust my thinking, just like he says. Well, the thought just popped into his mind, and that's kind of how my brain works too. I was not as often. And I love that, people have shared too that the longer I'm recovered, the less often those thoughts might pop into my head, but they still might pop in. So I need to be prepared as if, you know, it's the day before something like this that could happen. So I'm just so grateful for that. Like last week, I had a really tough day just accepting life on life's terms. And it took me like 8 hours to push through it. I mean, it was like ridiculous. And luckily that's very rare right now, but it was just ridiculous. For me, I was like, oh my gosh, you know, when is this going to end? And I didn't pick up, but I wanted to. I went to 3 meetings that day, listened for 3 hours, and you know what? It passed. And I was so, so glad when I went to bed. It was midnight, and I was going to all OA meetings, not just Vision for You meetings. I was just going to any 12-step recovery phone meeting I could find late at night. And I found a recovery there, and it helped me, and I didn't pick up. And I went to bed at 12 o'clock, full of peace, full of serenity from working the steps, and I didn't pick up. And I am so glad, because it's so true. It does pass. Thank you. I'm sorry about babbling, but thank you so much. I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Maureen S. Sorry for the confusion on your name. Leslie M., you're up next, followed by Kathleen O.
Good morning, Elaine B. Thank you so much for your service. This is Leslie M. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Long Island, New York. And, you know, I really identify with this paragraph also, the line that says, as I crossed the threshold of the dining room, the thought came to mind that it would be nice to have a couple of cocktails with dinner. That was all, nothing more. And for me, the last binge that I had, it was I had gone to a meeting and someone had said that bulimia was a good thing. And that got in my head. And I didn't let it go. Of course, it was a morning meeting, and I came home and should have had lunch, but I didn't do that because the thought got in my head. and you know, and I should have had dinner that night, but I didn't, because all along I was planning the binge, and I went out and did that. But the great thing about that was that I finally saw that, you know, how the mental obsession is the greater part of this illness. And it allowed me to not only be powerless over my food, but to also realize that I was powerless over my thinking. And that allowed me a total surrender. And that life was unmanageable. My life was unmanageable by me because of the things that I did, not because of what was going on around me. And with that realization, you know, I have now come to, you know, being recovered and abstinent. And it's just amazing, you know, the serenity and the calmness that I now enjoy. But without that specific scenario, people will ask me, so, you know, are you grateful? What are you grateful for? And I'm grateful for both. I'm grateful for having that process laid out in front of me so that I could see how powerless I am over my thinking, you know, and that was the first step for me, that final surrender to, you know, this is a spiritual malady that requires a spiritual solution. Of course, I have to be entirely abstinent to do the process, but, you know, I had to get to that point to surrender. And without that thought, I might not be here today, but, you know, all I know is that I'm very grateful. You know, I certainly know without my higher power, God, in my life, you know, none of this would have happened. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Leslie. Kathleen O., you are up next. You'll be followed by Beatrice O. Please go
Good
ahead,
morning,
Kathleen.
Elaine.
Good morning. Thank you for your service this morning, Elaine. It's great to be on the line with all of you this morning. Oh, my goodness. I can so relate to Fred. You know, Fred states he felt fine physically, he had no pressing problems or worries, he was happy, all was well. I've been in that position where everything's fine, you know, it's going to be okay to have a little bit of this, a little bit of that. And, you know, he's happy, he's not having any emotions that are building up, he's not having any problems, yet still he has the thought that it would be nice to have a couple of cocktails with dinner. That was all, nothing more. And that is the subtle insanity before the bite. You know, the real problem is this insane thinking that even after the knowledge and a wish of the need to leave it alone, I couldn't do it. You know, I had to finally admit that I was without defense from that first bite. And I had to remember it. You know, Fred certainly didn't have the thought that, oh, I'll have a couple drinks at dinner and end up in the asylum. And that's how relapse happens, because we don't think that, you know. I've had the thought, you know, being, and these thoughts come when everything does seem fine, you know, like I'll be at a party with friends and everybody's happy, I'm happy, and we're having a good time. And I'll think, oh, you know, I can have a bite of that because it's not, you know, it's not flour sugar, it's not, you know, candy cookies, ice cream, it's just, you know, a piece of cheese or whatever. And that is, you know, that will lead exactly, for me, it did just like Fred, you know, pretty soon I'm eating all sorts of stuff. So, you know, had Fred conceded to his innermost self that he was powerless over alcohol, and knew that one drink was too many and 100 wouldn't be enough. And that's what I always have to remember. When I'm at parties and I'm think that thought might come up, I have to remember that. One piece of that is too much, and 100 pieces is never going to be enough. You know, if he knew that one drink would trigger his allergy and the mental obsession would set in, you know, this mental twist that despite the pain and consequences, the pain has no memory, and that's why we pick up again. So making the decision to put down our alcoholic foods, following this program of action, you know, I realized that was my only option because nothing else worked. I absolutely needed the spiritual answer, and we do get it in these pages and on this line. And thank you, everyone, and I pass.
Thank you very much, Kathleen O. After Beatrice O shares, we're going to open the line for more shares, and we're commenting on the first paragraph on page one in More About Alcoholism, not page one, page 41. First paragraph starts with, I went to my hotel. So look forward to hearing your thoughts on that, particularly if you haven't shared in a while. And Beatrice O, please go ahead.
Good morning. This is Beatrice O, recovered from Northern California. So I also wanted to comment about the threshold. So I didn't want to admit on this Vision for You meeting, but I'm just going to be honest. I had a slip, and I actually thought that I would never have a slip again. So I just want to talk about that process. So it's very, I can't even articulate it, but what I'm going to say is, so after a slip, so do I start condemning myself? I do all or nothing. Do I say to myself, you cannot say that you're recovered anymore because, you know, you had a flour sugar product. You're a chronic relapser. You just need to get back on that horse. You this and you that. So those are like thoughts that have come to mind. Or do I say, you know, I have to forgive myself. I have to run to God. I have to get back to basics. Do I, you know, tell myself, I'm relapsed now, and go back to, you know, uncontrollable eating? Do I rip myself to shreds? Do I, how long do I continue to berate myself? Is my, and if I don't do that, is that my disease? So I'm just being honest. My life has got a little complicated. And I had that thought, that crossing the threshold. So I am abstinent today. And I was able to go back to my higher power and forgive myself and keep on trucking without all the condemnation. So I'm a grateful recovered food addict. And
gentle reminder.
And with that, I'll pass.
Okay, Beatrice, so thank you so much. So we have time for about five people to comment on the first paragraph on page 41. Who'd like to?
Darian K.
Darian K.
Devorah F.
Devorah F.
Julie E.B.
Rachel P.
Julie
Lisa
E.
O. Lisa Lee.
I heard Lisa O. Was there a Rachel?
Yeah, Rachel P.
Rachel P. Okay.
Karen W.
Sharon, I'm not sure if we'll have time for you, but we'll see. So let's get started. We've got Darian K., Devorah S., Julie B., Rachel P., and Lisa D., and Sharon W., if we have time. So Darian, please go ahead.
Hi, this is Darian K. from the Berkshires of Massachusetts. Can you hear me okay?
Just fine. Thank you.
Good. Yes, this is, wow, this is amazing. I have, like, marked up so much on this one little paragraph. It's just amazing how much there is to think about here. you know, it made me think of the a saying I heard in program many times. If you fail to plan, you plan to fail. And, you know, to me it sounded like Fred really didn't have a plan. You know, he sort of was just going along and doing whatever was next and sort of just relying on however he felt and wherever the, you know, the breeze may take him. And it also made me think, too, it's like it doesn't matter what emotions we have either. I mean, he sounded like he was in a good place. And for me, yeah, eating when I was happy was a big thing. Eating when I was sad was a big thing. Angry. I personally don't have any emotions that I didn't eat over, you know, that I definitely didn't eat over. Yes, I'm just so grateful that, you know, I don't have to eat over any of my emotions, that it's definitely a mental and physical allergy. And it gets worse, never better. And that's what I think. The progression of this disease is...
You are now unmuted.
Blah, 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 blah.
Hello?
Hello?
Blah, blah.
Can I be heard?
Please go ahead, Darian. Sorry about that.
Okay, thank you. Yeah. So the progression of the disease, basically, is what I'm hearing here in this paragraph. And it's just insidious and powerful. And I'm just so glad that I have a solution today, which is really having a plan and having a higher power that I can count on to really abstain from what I need to and rely on him on a daily basis. So thank you for letting me share.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Darian K. Devorah F., you're up next.
Hey, good morning, everyone. Thank you, Elaine, for your service, and thank you for that great Sunday edition that you did the other day. I really benefited from it. My name is Devorah S., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from New Jersey. And, you know, this paragraph, again, just reminds me how, you know, that thought, again, all these thoughts that come into my mind, that is the foundation of why I eat. You know, that is my problem. You know, I have no control over my thought processes. And you know, and honestly, I just never knew that. I never knew, you know, all the years that I was eating and I got myself up to 280 pounds. And I didn't know that my mental, that this problem was a mental thing. I didn't know that I was, you'd think I'd know that I was an addict, right? I didn't know. I just thought that this is my lot in life. This is what's meant to be, you know? There are all kinds of people in the world, so I'm just going to be someone who is killing myself with the food. What can I say? And I was a very slow learner until I learned, you know, from you guys, the doctor's opinion and the allergy of the body, the obsession of the mind. But, you know, going forward, you know, like, honestly, I, you know, if I had a chance to make up my own bumper sticker for my car, I would say, looking back now, I would say all roads lead to food, you know. So it didn't matter how I was feeling. I could have been, you know, could have been a glorious sunny day outside and raining outside, and snowy day. Whatever day it was always a day for me to, it's a great idea to eat. Let's find something to eat. When I'm happy, sad, lonely, bored, whatever it was, everything led to the food. I didn't have to be miserable and discontented to be eating. So it took me a while in program to figure that one out. And let me tell you, I'm just so grateful because, you know, the thoughts that came into my mind today I don't have to act on it because today, you know, I am human, thank God. You know, I was given a brain. And I can't erase my thoughts, but I can take actions today. And I don't have to sit in that thought. I don't have to sit into that muck. And I don't have to sit in the lies. And that's why, you know, this program is all about, you know, ego reduction, getting out of ourselves and being of service for others, you know, and moving forward. So, you know, these thoughts come up. We know what to do with them. I don't know. Fred didn't know. He, you know, he got caught in that thought, and right, and next thing he knew, he woke up in a hospital, you know, unbearable, you know, mental and physical pain and suffering, you know, and you know, thank God, we don't have to do that today. We have a way out. By every day, you know, doing this program, waking up in the morning, recommitting myself to my higher power, and going through the steps each day, and staying abstinent. What a miracle and what a relief that is, and what a joy it is. This is what I want to do. You know, I do want to do this thing. And so, you know, I'm so grateful that I have another day today, another shot of working this program, of looking to my higher power to see what his will is for me today, and to be of service. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Devorah Ace. Devorah S. Julie D., you are up next, and you are followed by Rachel P. Please go ahead, Julie.
Hi, this is Julie E.B., gratefully. Oh, just fine. I'm both. Julie E.B., gratefully recovered today in Colorado Springs, just by the grace of God, just one day at a time, and very much humbled by the nature of this disease and by the gift of recovery one moment at a time. When I hear this, I just have this strong sense of my disease thinking that I get into, that life is happening to me. You know, remember it was the end of a perfect day when this story starts. And so why not? You know, I've earned this. Like, and life is happening. I'm just leisurely dressing. I just crossed the threshold. These are all these passive verbs. This thought just came into my mind, you know. And it just struck me a highball would be fine. You know, these things are happening to me. So I stepped in the bar and had one. And then all of a sudden life is happening to me. I only have a shadowy recollection of being, you know, in this airplane, a taxi cab, you know, going around for several days. I'm just, life is living me. I'm not really living life, you know. We talk about recovery. We try and live life. And instead of just survive my life. And for many years, I was just surviving my life. And, you know, and then this unbearable mental, physical, and suffering, that is what actually wakes him up to reality. The only reality I knew in my disease was unbearable mental and physical suffering. It may not have looked like anyone else's suffering. I may not have suffered exactly what you suffered. I may have suffered untold things that you have no idea about that are breaking, that were breaking my heart. And again, that's me in the passive voice. But here in this program, I have this opportunity to think through these things and realize that there are other actions that are in here. I ordered another cocktail. I drank that highball. I am powerless, but I am not helpless. And so I can have the love and care of a sponsor of this community. I can learn from the example, not just of when life treats me well, but also when I have difficult interactions, I can learn that that's how I often come off to other people. I come off in a way that hurts them. And so I can be continually humbled by this disease. And so today I just want to share my experience, strength, and hope that through these simple steps, I can live a life where life isn't just happening to me, but when something takes my breath away or brings me to my knees, I can reach out to others as a way to clear the way, 10-step for my higher power. I can increase my conscious contact with my higher power. I can just ask for the next thing, not 50 things down the road. And I can be of service to others. And I thank you. And I can be of service to others as best I can. And so that's the way that I can live life instead of life happening to me. And my higher power gives me that gift. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Hi, Julie V. Thank you for your share. Rachel P., you're up next, followed by Lisa D. Please go ahead, Rachel.
Good morning, fellas, and thank you all for your service. This is Rachel P., compulsive overeater in Denver, Colorado. I love Fred's story because it tells me that self-knowledge and self-will is not enough. And that's such a good reminder for me because while I have worked the steps multiple times and I have called myself recovered and the food does not call to me, I forget that I'm an addict over and over again. And while I've had what I call 14 and a half months of imperfect abstinence, I had a slip a week ago. I drank a mocktail that had a sugar. I didn't think it was going to have sugar in it, but it arrived at the table with a Sprite in it, and I drank it because I didn't want to appear. I didn't want to appear different from my coworkers. And that's definitely my codependency, and that's my addict inside of me. It's so easy to forget for me. It's so easy for that amnesia to come up. So even though I have that self-knowledge, like Fred did, that I am an addict and that the stories of these that compulsive overeaters I interact with resonate with me, and I know that I have the allergy of the body and I know that I have the mental twist of the mind, if I'm not diligently working these 12 steps, I am not recovered. And then I become spiritually, mentally, and then ultimately physically unrecovered. And so what happened to me last week was an incredible reminder, and it's exactly what I needed to humble myself. And calling my sponsor the next day and telling her what happened was so humbling. And I know that I have to live in that space of entire humility and not only the self-awareness that I have the allergy and the mental twist, but working these 12 steps and connected with my higher power every minute of every day and having that vigilance every minute of every day and connecting with all of my fellows. And that's what it takes for me, and I'm just so grateful to be on this path. Thank you, I passed.
Thank you so much, Lisa D. And Sharon W., you will be our last share for today. And we just have about 2 minutes, so please go ahead.
Hi, my name is Lisa D. And Elaine, thank you for your service, and thank you for everyone for your service. I just feel like I want to hide. I feel like I want to hide behind the fact that this is an in-person meeting. But I also kind of think I'm a compulsive eater that, you know, God wants me to share. So I'm having some troubles with food this week, especially, and I think that's just a lot going on. My husband and I are considering a move, and so a lot is coming up because of that. And I really relate to what happened to Fred with his thoughts, you know. And I know it's easy for me to know in retrospect when I start to think like that, like when I start to have a narrative for my life inside my head, I'm going down the wrong path. And it's very hard for me to, at that time, say, look, I'm going to call somebody. I've done better. One of my huge triggers is at night when I'm tired, and I used to always eat, but no amount of eating would ever have satiated me because I wasn't hungry. I was tired. So that's gotten better. But I'm still, you know, when that thought comes, like when it came to Fred, sometimes I take a pause. Sometimes I call people, but not very frequently. So I really need to tighten that up or call. I really need to tighten that up, take a pause, write. I do pray just to get out of that twist of the mind. I think one huge thing that I'm noticing about myself and about how
gentle
I am.
Gentle reminder.
Okay, is just comparing myself to others. And really, you know, just I know a woman who was in program for many, many years, and she had a strong program, and she ate desserts like once a week. And that's like a beckon to me, like maybe I could be like that. But I have to acknowledge that maybe I will never be like that. and to just, pray to God that he exposes my path. Okay, thank you for letting me share today. I'm so grateful to be part of this meeting. Pat.
Thank you very much. Thank you so much, Lisa D. and Sharon W. I'm sorry we do not have time for you, but thank you everybody who has shared and listened and came for this meeting, and everybody who helps with it. We'll now transition the meeting by reading.
We don't hear you, Elaine.
Star one, Elaine. Thank you so much, Janice. Thank you, everyone who shared. And Sharon W., sorry, we didn't have time for you. But thank you, Lisa D., for your share. And we're going to transition the meeting by reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And will Kara L. please begin reading. Page 164, our book is meant to be suggestive only. And please press star one to unmute, Kara.
Good morning, this is Kara L., recovered compulsive overeater from California. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.